It was snowing the afternoon Jessie recycled her sex toys. A sharp wind from Canada was whipping sheets of white across the parking lot at the household waste dump in Burlington. It was like being smacked in the face by a line of wet laundry. Most Vermonters had the good sense to stay home during a blizzard. Jessie hauled a black plastic bag from the rear seat of her CRV and emptied its contents into the garbage mangle. Driving home, she wondered if someone could trace this paraphernalia back to her via her tire tracks in the snow. She realized she'd been watching too many episodes of CSI. By abandoning this junk, was she acknowledging that her love life was now over? She mused as she exited from the interstate. Her conscious motive had been less terminal. Last week, while transferring names and numbers from her tattered address book onto her new iPhone, she had realized that many of her entries were now dead. She pictured herself dead, and her son Anthony's finding her antique VHS tape of Lesbian Hospital while searching for her will. To spare him this trauma, she had decided to dispose of it herself. Yet she had learned in therapy that unconscious motives were often at odds with conscious ones. Sadly, if you knew what your unconscious motives were, then they weren't unconscious anymore, so you could never claim to know them. But one of hers might have involved an interview with Jack Nicholson in a recent National Enquirer she had read in a Price Chopper checkout line. He had talked of realizing that it was no longer dignified for him to hit on young women in parking lots, as he was evidently accustomed to doing. Likewise, Jessie had recently stopped dancing at parties, feeling it was undignified for someone in early old age to do the bump. But since when had either Jack or she worried about dignity? Jessie dropped her keys into the pottery bowl on the chest in the entryway of her condo. She turned on the radio and plopped down in the leather armchair in her living room. Outside the French doors, circles of ice, like giant peppermint lifesavers, were forming on the surface of Lake Champlain. One midwinter day, they would merge to form a solid sheet of ice. Before global warming, cars used to race up and down this ice. Skaters had twirled around it. Fishermen had sat drinking bud in little wooden huts atop it. Ice boats had swept along it with silver blades flashing and ghostly sails luffing. But now the ice was deemed hazardous. Last winter, a pickup truck had broken through it and sunk. Jessie had signed the death certificate for its idiot driver in the ER. Glancing around her living room, Jessie realized that she was completely surrounded by the ghosts of her ancestors in the form of their furniture, recently moved from her parents' house, the Victorian where she had grown up, which she had sold after her father's death. A sea chest bound with black metal bands had accompanied a family of flour millers across the Atlantic from Ireland. A wooden shuttle had earned a living for some French Huguenot weavers from Picardy. A steepled clock on the mantel had kept time for a family of draft dodgers from the Saarland. Beside it sat an ebony jewelry box containing the ashes of Cat, her lover of 20 years. A cloud of witnesses, her mother used to call her ancestors. With the least encouragement, she would quote the entire passage from the book of Hebrews, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Her mother had lived by these instructions. Her role model had been Laura Bush, who had sacrificed her own career as a librarian in order to advance that of her husband. But Jessie suspected that this cloud of implacable Protestants would probably view her as a laggard in the race of life. Having long since abandoned organized religion, not opposed to the occasional sin, and rarely noted for her patience. The snow outside the window had let up, but a stiff north wind was roiling the bay into swells that were surging against the ice-coated boulders along the shoreline. She reflected that if her love life wasn't, in fact, over, she had just made a big mistake. Or at least her parents would have seen it that way, since they never threw anything away. Her mother's favorite saying had been, "Waste not, want not." On their anniversaries, her parents used to go to the Hallmark store in the mall. Each would pick out a card and hand it to the other. They would read them, replace them on the rack, and drive back home, pleased to have expressed the requisite sentiments to each other at no charge.